You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Okay.
Our scintillating summer of broadcasting continues this evening when Glenn Allen, a longtime friend making his debut appearance on the program tonight, well, does in fact just that, makes his debut appearance here on TPC. Glenn Allen is a former attorney for the city of Baltimore, and he has paid a heavy price for having the courage to think freely. He is a champion of free speech who is now standing up for others who have been similarly subjected to injustices by founding the Breathing Space for Dissent. Its mission is to advocate for free expression with a particular but not exclusive focus on combating the anti-free expression effects of digital deplatforming, hate labels, lawfare, doxing, cyber vigilantism, and terrorist and quasi-terrorist intimidation tactics. So Glenn Allen also founded the Free Expression Foundation, which is another arm of his inspiring activism. So Mr. Allen is going to be with us for the full and complete second hour tonight. He is just one of many leading lights who are making debut appearances on the program throughout this, our summer of 2021. Really looking forward to having the pleasure of welcoming him to the show tonight during the second hour. You're not going to want to miss his story and what he's doing now to help others who have experienced it. And you'll find out what it is and so much more a little bit later. But first, Keith Alexander, as always, or at least as usual, is with us for the first hour tonight. Keith and I are not together, so he's not in the studio, but we'll be back together next week. So we'll turn it over to Keith, as we so often do, covering the latest news and current events, what's in the headlines this week. And as I understand, Keith, you know, if I do say so myself, I thought gave the Afghanistan question a pretty solid treatment last week during our first hour, but as one probably could have expected, there was more to the story. This is still something that's very fluid and evolving, and I have seen some things in the news this week about a so-called terrorist strike there at the airport. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I think we predicted everything pretty well and set the table, described the landscape of what was going to go on, and we've just had more of the same this past week. There has been one terrorist attack earlier in the week, 13 U.S. service people, I think all service men, and for the most part all white men, what a surprise in today's U.S. military, were the ones killed. Of course, they're the ones they rely on to do the heavy lifting in all of these combat situations that the U.S. is constantly injecting our nation into. And almost 100 Afghans who were crowded up together trying to get out of Dodge, as they say, from Afghanistan. And of course, there's really a good reason to question the bona fide qualifications of a lot of these people. Everybody and his hound dog over there, I'm sure, would like a free ride to America, to then be treated to red carpet treatment, the way that we treat all third world immigrants. Of course, first world immigrants, forget about it. They're not welcome in America anymore. But then we had another attack, I think, today, where 10 servicemen were killed, U.S. servicemen, and again, a lot of Afghans as well, again, probably in the neighborhood of 100. These are supposedly being conducted by ISIS, which contests with the Taliban for being the the tough guy on the block in these Islamic countries. The Taliban and ISIS and Al-Qaeda, you know, they've got all sorts of people vying for who's king of the hill in those places. The Taliban has been thrust into the role of the adult in the room trying to for example, push the Afghans trying to get out of Afghanistan from the Kabul airport to more remote areas so that they can be brought in to avoid these type of bombings. And there is, a real reason to question this typical neocon narrative that all that the Taliban wants to do is murder these people, you know, by chopping off their heads and committing atrocities and cruelties against them. Basically, the Taliban was not a government in waiting. They were a group of military tough guys, but they don't have the skills of running the government. A lot of these people that worked with the Americans over there, people that are ambivalent about leaving, for example, and that's something they're not telling you about. Some of these people don't know whether they want to leave or don't want to stay. Well, it could be that the Taliban wants these people to stick around so they can run the government, because, you know, whatever else you can say about the government in terms of the everyday lives of the people was improved with the American occupation. You know, Sharia law, notwithstanding, Sharia law is what most Afghans, I think, want for their country.
Keith, as we talked about today, they want it with a government that's capable of handling zoning issues or garbage pickups. And I say that half jokingly, but you do have to have, it's totally different from fighting a 20-year guerrilla war to actually running and maintaining a country. There will be food shortages and supply chain logistics that need to be worked out by people who are competent in running cities. And we don't know if, of course, the Taliban has a capability of doing that. That's not what they were.
Well, I think the Taliban is more or less saying that they don't have the ability to do that. That's why they want some of these people, or most of these people, to stick around so that people can't point to and say, look how bad things got once the Taliban got in here. Garbage isn't being picked up. We have food shortages. We have medical care shortages and this, that, and the other. They'd rather that not be the case. They would like to have cell phones. They just want you speaking to them under your burqa, you know. see, this is they're like everybody. They're, you know, everybody would like to pick and choose what parts of modernity they want to embrace and have in their lives and what parts they don't. It's like we were talking about William Lynn's book, Retro Culture, Taking America Back. That's what we are doing over here, for example. People of our persuasion, people that are white advocates, there are some parts of modernity that we like and other parts that we hate. And I'm sure that's the same all over the world, and Afghanistan is no exception.
Well, we were talking about this thing earlier today. I've been out of town all week, and we were talking about democracy. This was the whole thing. I'm seeing George W. Bush with these sad puppy dog eyes about how the money supply has been cut off, at least in this part of the world, for the military-industrial complex. And we were talking about democracy. Well, we want to take democracy to them. Of course, we were talking about, hey, if we're going to take democracy to the world, why not have it here in America? And I don't want to get out in the tall grass about constitutional republic versus a democracy. I understand all that. But, hey, I'm telling you, nobody in America ever voted for homosexual marriage. Nobody in America ever voted for integration. We don't get to vote on, hey, it's all settled by the courts. It's all settled by technocrats. So, hey, if you're going to spread democracy around the world, let's start here at home. And if we did that,
amen,
a lot of things would be the same. They would have never changed. We'll be right back.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How many times do I have to tell you?
I swear, it just goes in one ear and out the other.
Don't you understand English?
Your children are probably too polite to tell you.
Hello, those things on the side of your head aren't turnips.
But they get just as frustrated when you won't listen to them as you do when they won't listen to you.
Do I need to speak slower?
In fact, few things show children how much they're valued and respected more than a parent's willingness to listen.
Tell me what you did at work today.
Studies show when parents listen, children develop better listening skills themselves. They also tend to have more self-confidence and are more likely to avoid alcohol and drugs.
Now sit down here and tell me all about it.
When you really listen, love is what they'll hear.
Thank you for sharing that with me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Although we did cover it extensively in the first hour of last week's show, Keith Alexander and yours truly are doing a little mop-up work here on the latest from Afghanistan. It is the biggest story of the summer, and in many ways in the last decade or two, with regard to what's really going on and what the real problem is according to the system. And this, with that being said, this would be my obligatory tip of the hat to the written work of Brad Griffin, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace, as he's known over there at Occidental Descent, but OccidentalDescent.com. Hunter, Brad, he's got a great timeline of articles that'll catch you up all the way up to date if you've, like me, been checked out for the past 3 or 4 days. And says, with regard to Afghanistan war profiteering, 90% of the U.S. spending went to military-industrial complex contractors. So Biden is now paying the price for unwinding a very lucrative grift. And, of course, Keith and I were talking about the attack at the airport yesterday here in our opening segment. And you've got now the schizophrenia really coming to the forefront within the Republican Party. Now Donald Trump is saying we would have bombed them hard, and Trump never intended to withdraw from Afghanistan, even though it was one of his most popular issues when he ran against Hillary Clinton. And this is what the Republican Party is doing now. Kevin McCarthy saying, and what a cuck that guy is, Joe Biden chose the Taliban over Americans. So that's obviously a completely ridiculous thing to say. What happened, however how it happened, was good for America. And under whose watch it happened on, it was good for America. I don't care if it was Trump. I don't care if it was Biden. Trump saying this week he would have bombed the hell out of them. If Trump was still president, the Taliban would have never taken Kabul. That's what's going on right now. And George W. Bush, Keith, you mentioned him today, speaking out against this. Of course, it breaks my heart, says former President George W. Bush. But this is the return of the pro-war GOP. The GOP wants to plunge back into Afghanistan to own Joe Biden. This is their mentality right now. And, of course, it could change and would change week to week, month to month, candidate to candidate, depending on the prevailing winds, I guess. But they are reverting back to form.
Well, what it shows is that the neocons are firmly in control of the Republican Party apparatus. They're firmly in control of the Senate, firmly in control of the House of Representatives, firmly in control of the mainstream media. That's why you get this constant drumbeat. There's no way anybody could have extracted America from any of these Middle Eastern wars without coming in for, you know, unrelenting vituperation and criticism from neocons. In fact, somebody like neocon Lindsey Graham, you know, Flimsy Lindsey from South Carolina, he said that if one life is lost, one American or one Afghan collaborationist with the American troops is killed, that Joe Biden should be impeached. Really? You know, who is a magician that can extract us from a war without any deaths? You know, you couldn't even surrender Fort Sumter in the beginning of the Civil War without at least one soldier being killed. He was killed by the backfire when he was firing a 21-gun salute as they were leaving the fort. But, you know, according to Lindsey Graham, one death is too many. Well, guess what? Think of how many American servicemen and American civilians have been killed in these never-ending Middle Eastern wars that, like you said, are basically driven by the military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower so presciently warned us about in 1960 as he stepped down as president for John F. Kennedy to ascend the presidency. Who is the military-industrial complex? People, companies like General Dynamics, Raytheon, Boeing, Halliburton, and others. And who owns them? Well, who are their CEOs? The usual suspects. And like you said, 90%. And I was really surprised by that figure, but, you know, I trust Hunter Wallace. He really does his homework. 90% of government spending was to basically wound up in the pockets of the military-industrial complex. They need constant wars so they can sell the tools of the trade to the U.S. military to fight them. If suddenly we ran out of wars, then there would be no need to buy these weapon systems or new weapons or munitions or whatever. And then we'd be in the situation that Russia is in right now. Russia has stopped constructing weapons, mass destruction weapons or otherwise, because they say, we have made all the weapons that we need. We think they are at least as good and better than any American weapons we're going to encounter, or Chinese weapons or whatever. So consequently, we can stop wasting money doing that. America will never be able to stop wasting money with the military-industrial complex. Well, and Israel is going to continue to want us to make them safer by fighting these wars all the time. And all this malarkey that we hear from people like Sean Hannity and Bert Ferguson and whatnot about Israel being America's greatest ally, they're no ally at all. They never allied themselves with us in these wars. Were they allied with us in the Afghanistan war? No. In the Iraq war? No. In the Syrian war? No. They don't do any of that. They just sit back and let, you know, it's like that old commercial they had for Greyhound bus. It's such a comfort to take the bus and leave the driving to us. Well, we're us. The United States drives the bus. And
what they do as our allies, what they do as our allies in this partnership is receive our foreign aid and our boots on the ground and whatever else they can get from us without ever offering anything in return, except for the subversion of this country, of course. And if the system couldn't damage America by remaining in Afghanistan indefinitely, they're going to damage it in other ways. They'll find a secondary way to damage us. And in this case, it is the importing of so-called refugees. So we've got a story here that the Defense Secretary has ordered commercial airliners to help ferry Afghani refugees into the United States. So more wasted taxpayer money, Keith. And to make matters even worse, they're being ferried right over here. Just awful in every way. So here's the United States government, taxpayer money, of course, hiring out American Airlines and all these other airliners to charter some of their jets to ferry over these people. They're just going to plop them over here now.
Well, you know what Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. They decided that this would be a wonderful opportunity to probably transport half of the Afghan population to the United States. Now, they're bringing them over to air bases and other military installations so as not to raise the ire or the profile of what's going on to the average American citizen. I also read this week that they're taking them to Mexico so they can sneak into the country the tried and true way, like all of Central America and Mexico does, just traipse across our porous border in the south. But nonetheless, you know, what is the danger with Afghans? Well, Afghan refugees have been in the forefront of child rapes in places like Poland and Germany and Czechoslovakia, I guess it's now the Czech Republic, places like this in Europe. And I don't think we have a shortage of child rapists. We don't need to be importing new ones. And they have already found several terrorists that have snuck into America in this evacuation from Afghanistan. So, you know, they're using our niceness against us, our instincts to be charitable and welcoming, and they're destroying our country, pulling it right out from under us, James.
We're going to shift gears when we come back with Keith Alexander for the second half of the first hour, get into a more vast and varied array of headlines before we welcome our featured guest of the evening in the second hour, former City of Baltimore attorney Glenn Allen. You don't want to miss his story and what he's doing to fight back. Stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The Taliban terrorist group has taken full control of almost every area near the airport in the capital of Afghanistan and is ready to take over as soon as U.S. troops depart, two senior officials from the group claimed on Friday. As soon as the Americans leave, they just have to give us the signal and we will then take over, he said. This can be done as early as this weekend, he added. For women, the question is, what's next? After 20 years of advancements in women's rights to education, to work, and to even leave the home, now appear to be dashed. Afghan human rights activist Serena Faizi.
20 years, we worked so hard to get to where we are right now. But, you know, look at that. Just in 2 weeks, you know, we lost everything that we worked so hard for. They're hopeless. They're helpless. The only one thing that they're looking for is for a miracle. My family's right now in Afghanistan. I have 6 sisters.
This is USA Radio News.
The Giza Dream Sheets are the perfect companion to a MyPillow, the best thing you'll ever put on your bed. Call 1-800-951-8175. Ask for the Giza Dream Sheets special you get, by the way, by using my promo code USA. You can go online also to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Special. You can save up to 66% on anything in the MyPillow website. Check it out, MyPillow.com, promo code USA. Friends, Mike Lindell's My Pillow, My Slippers make my feet feel better than they have in about 20 years. My Pillow proprietary foam, memory foam, patented impact gel, indoor-outdoor soles. You won't want to take them off, or Mike Lindell will give you your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and save 40% using my promo code USA.
School districts in Florida may impose mask mandates, a judge said Friday, ruling that Governor Ron DeSantis overstepped his authority by issuing an executive order banning the mandates. Broward County School Board Chair Rosalind Osgood says they have a responsibility to protect those in the schools.
With what we know from science and medicine and how this airborne pandemic is spreading, we feel very strongly that we have to protect the people in our school district.
The Democrat Majority Committee probing the events that unfolded at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th issued letters to 15 telecommunications and social media companies, including giants such as Facebook, Twitter, and Google, asking them to provide a series of documents related to the day. The committee is seeking a range of records, including data, reports, analyses, and communications, stretching back to spring of 2020. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, what else is going on in the country this week that we think would be good for our customary first hour survey of the headlines and current events? Well, number one, there's a big hurricane that apparently is forming. Now, you know that the media lies about everything, and sometimes they lie about the potency and the danger of these hurricanes. In fact, a friend of mine once said that he actually went down to a place where they were doing hurricane coverage and saw the wind machines that they were using to make the footage look a little more dramatic. So, yes, we can't put that past them, but nevertheless, if you live down on the Gulf Coast, Mississippi Gulf Coast, down there in Alabama, Louisiana, all in the path of what they are calling Hurricane Ida. So stay tuned and keep an eye on the horizon there. We'll see how that plays out. Now, Keith, I found this to be exceedingly rich. I mean, this is one of those that even makes our grizzled eyes pop a little bit. So Lester Holt has interviewed the Capitol police officer who killed Ashley Babbitt. And so his name is... oh, well, I had it right here. Lieutenant Michael Byrd is his name. And he
was... everybody knows that the bird is the word, right?
We should have played that as the intro music this segment. But he was interviewed on NBC by Lester Holt. And wouldn't you know it, Keith, he sees himself as the victim of racism. This is the guy that killed the unarmed...
you know, what black person
Babbitt
in America doesn't see themselves as a victim of racism if... they're constantly being told they are by the mainstream media, people like Lester Holt. So, you know, it would be remarkable if he didn't see himself as a victim of racism.
Well, indeed he does, and that's the story he's running with. He killed this unarmed woman. Now, of course, again, it's so cliche now, it's almost cringeworthy to even admit it, but imagine if the races were reversed, and of course we've seen what happens when the races are reversed. I don't think it would have been brushed under the rug, and I don't think this guy would be a white equivalent had a white officer shot an unarmed black woman, would have been allowed to go on and talk about how pitiful he is.
Well, I guess we're making progress. We were being told for months that this person didn't even exist, that who is he? You know, what's this? This must be some urban fable. But nonetheless, finally, they've taken the wraps off this person and told us that he does exist, but you honkies, don't get your hopes up. There's never going to be a prosecution of this guy. In fact, they're probably casting a commemorative statue for him now to put up next to George Floyd. You know, he's going to be...
Well, how about this one? We've talked about, I don't know, it was recently, a couple, three shows ago, we talked about the new law that was passed in Oregon that basically has done away with any sort of standards for reading, writing, and arithmetic. You don't have to be proficient in any of the most basic foundational subjects.
In other words, you don't have to prove you're proficient in that to get a high school diploma in Oregon.
No. Yes, you can go on to anything and be anything and anyone you want to be, regardless of if you can read or write or do math. Well, here's a headline that you would say, well, what did they expect? The headline's from the San Francisco Chronicle, and it reads, an elite high school got rid of competitive admissions. Now it is seeing a radical shift in its demographics. Well, Keith, would you like to break down exactly why that is?
Well, there was an article or a video featuring Jared Taylor in American Renaissance this week that's about 10 minutes long that I would suggest you consult, because it has the answer to this question and many others. It says, diversity or standards? You can have one, but you can't have them both. If you have diversity, you have to abandon standards. If you have standards, you have to abandon diversity. Unfortunately, people are not soybeans the way that the left would like to portray them to be. Everybody isn't the same. Everybody doesn't have the same characteristics, the same talents, the same intelligence, the same looks. In fact, as Thomas Jefferson told John Adams in their later in life correspondence, when he was ruining his use of the phrase, all men were created equal, he said, in terms of intelligence, appearance, and moral standards, a more correct statement would be that no two men were ever created equal. Well, the left just can't accept that truth. They want to deal in the truism that all men are created equal, and if they are, what's this discrepancy about? So now you're going to have more unqualified people with high-sounding credentials and high-sounding degrees that will use those degrees and their diplomas to beat employers over the head with, to beat government agencies over the head with, and get positions that they're far outmatched to be able to handle. They won't have the competence or the capacity to be rocket scientists, for example. But they'll nonetheless get jobs as rocket scientists, and that old cartoonish video that we used to run about some African, the Ugandan space program, where they get the school bus and put some rockets on it and try to launch it into outer space. That's going to be the new U.S. space program under the new standards of, you know, standardless admission to, you know, selective colleges, universities, and now high schools. So, you know, just hold on to your hats, folks. This is the roller coaster ride, but we're going at warp speed towards third world status in America.
So again, folks, if you couldn't figure out why, when there were standards in education, some demographics couldn't measure up to the bar. Forget the fact that it wasn't their race that was keeping them out. It was their inability to do well and to excel. And if you can't have excellence, you might as well have equality. So they did away with the rigorous standards. And, oh, lo and behold, now everybody who couldn't make it before is changing the demographics of this particular school. Now, that wasn't written as a cautionary tale by the San Francisco Chronicle. It was a celebratory piece in so much as, hey, we got rid of the standards and now we have equality. What a great thing. Let's just do it across the board, because you can't have excellence and equality. You can have one or the other. And that's what you were saying. That's basically what Jared was saying at AMRAN.
Well, let me just tell you, I don't see why San Francisco doesn't, the San Andreas fault doesn't fracture and the whole coastal area of the left coast slide into the sea. This is the, you know, it seems to be the epicenter of everything, not only foolish, but toxic to America's continuing success and status as a first world nation. They're in active war against excellence in places like San Francisco, Hollywood, the Acela Corridor on the East Coast. Why in the world we have to be yoked, unequally yoked with those people, here in the South? We've got our own problems. We've got fundamentalists that believe in Jewish dispensationalism, and therefore we can never really criticize and correct liberalism, because liberalism is basically a Jewish invention, at least largely so in today's America and in the West. But on the other hand, you know, there are still standards, and there are still people that think right on most issues. They have a blind spot with this Jewish dispensationalism. But on the other hand, look at San Francisco, for example. I mean, they have Chesa Boudin, the son of an SDS weather woman who was complicit in the killing of two people. And by the way, she got out in the 1990s, was pardoned by Bill Clinton. Now her husband, David Gilbert, has just been pardoned by the parole board in California. And also Sirhan Sirhan, the assassin of Robert F. Kennedy, it looks like he's on his way to getting a parole. The parole board recommended it. The prosecutor didn't oppose it. Crime ain't what it used to be. Crime and punishment. It used to have crime and punishment. It went together like love and marriage. Well, now crime can exist and punishment, well, maybe so, maybe no.
And it all continues apace. And this goes back to what we said before, and this isn't obviously a new observation, but nobody voted for this. The vast majority of the country never voted for any of these radical egalitarian movements. They just got thrust upon us by the courts.
Starting with Brown versus Board of Education and public school integration. Look what a disaster that has been to public education in America. America used to be at the top of the first world in the quality of its public education system. Now we're at the bottom of the first world. And nobody mentions it, and nobody mentions why. Another thing that we pointed out in our conversation earlier is that America has not won a war since the U.S. military was desegregated and integrated in 1948 under Harry Truman.
And, of course, they haven't fought a war that they should have been in since long before that. But, yes, if you can't raise everybody up to the same standard, bring everybody down to the lowest standard, and that seems to be the way we'll truly achieve equity. We'll be right back.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass. I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born. I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. One more segment before we get to our featured guest of the evening. longtime friend, first-time appearance on the program tonight will be Glenn Allen, a former City of Baltimore attorney who has paid a price for daring to think freely, and will let you know about his struggle and his fight against the system and what he's doing to help others who have been similarly targeted based upon their beliefs. So we're really looking forward to that. But before that, one more segment with Keith this evening. And Keith, you mentioned American Renaissance in the previous segment with regards to Jared's recent video on standards and diversity. What about the coverage of what's going on in the Ukraine? You made some interesting points and observations to me over the phone earlier today.
Well, you know, at the top of the website, when you click on American Renaissance, he has this kind of scrolling set of articles or videos. And one of them this week, I think it came out yesterday, says, "When Race is Not Enough." And it's about the Ukraine. Now, let's give a little bit of background on this. As white advocates, we think that most of the problems that you can point to in America and in the West generally, and in white nations generally, come from diversity, trying to settle non-whites in our midst, or trying to come to terms with these people and their inability to compete on the same basis for jobs and money and whatnot as us. And what they do is they try to lower the standards so they can get them shoehorned into positions. But are there any nations that really aren't succeeding, as you would expect, that have vast majority white populations? Well, yes. And chief among them is the Ukraine. The Ukraine was like the breadbasket of Russia and considered to be that for years. It was first allowed to be a separate nation, ironically enough, under the Bolshevik Soviet Union government in 1921. But from what I can tell, the Ukrainians have a reputation in Russia kind of like white Southerners do in the United States of America. We're considered to be fractious and ornery and people that don't fit in and don't want to fit in. Well, apparently that's the Russian view of the Ukrainians. And the Ukrainians have beautiful people. In fact, their women are considered to be among the most beautiful and submissive in the entire world, okay? And they have a very intelligent and well-educated population. But they don't seem to be able to get their cart out of the ditch, one, because of Jewish oligarchs again, for the most part, or other oligarchs that aren't part of the ethnic, historic nation of Ukraine who tend to run things. These people were run out of Russia by Vladimir Putin, but apparently there's not been a Vladimir Putin type or someone who maybe with more democratic instincts could run these people out of Ukraine, so they're still there. They had to basically have the government take over the national bank, private bank is what it's called, PRIVATBANK, because it was being run by Jewish banksters who were basically diverting the funds out of the bank for their own private purposes. Well, they don't seem to be able to correct the corruption that they have in that government. And, of course, there's pressure with Russia trying to break them into three different nations and having two of those nations align themselves with Russia, like Donbass, D-O-N-B-A-S-S and whatnot. But for whatever reasons there are, Ukraine is not nearly as prosperous as you would think it would be based upon its human stock, their education, and their appearance. Well, let me tell you, gentlemen, this is a great opportunity for you. You know, there, if you're having trouble finding wife candidates in America, I would suggest that you look to the Ukraine, because they have beautiful women who are anxious to come to America. And quite frankly, an American guy who is middle class looks like a plutocrat to them, okay? They have doctors over there that make less than $1,000 a month. That's one of the things that came out. There's an article by, I assume he's either a Ukrainian or a Russian named Ivan Ivanovich, which is in American Renaissance, and I would suggest that you read it. But nonetheless, you know, we're talking about how it's hard to find marriage candidate women for men in our movement. Well, I would suggest the Ukraine would be a happy hunting ground for those men, and they ought to look towards that for doing it. And, you know, this is apparently sexual exploitation is a problem over there by foreigners coming over, but what you need to do is try to find someone that you could have as a marriage candidate and bring over here, because we certainly, with the increase in the number of lesbians, for example, it used to be that male homosexuals in America were twice as abundant as females. Now that's flipped. There are twice as many lesbians as there are male homosexuals. And, of course, they're not in the market for, you know, marriage, love and marriage, and here comes daddy with a baby carriage. You know, they're not into all that. So we need to get people, and we need also, our government, rather than spending all this money on places like Haiti, why don't we spend money on Ukraine, helping them develop industries, helping them get jobs, helping them in international trade and things like this. That would be a much more doable project than trying to turn Haiti into, let's say, California of 1950. I don't think it's going to happen. It hasn't happened in over 200 years down there. But on the other hand, Ukraine, despite terrible persecution under the Soviets, has bounced back. But on the other hand, their population was 52 million in 1991. Now it's down to 42 million. And the reason is they're not reproducing. And why are they not reproducing? Just exactly what Virginia Abernathy said last week on our show. When parents don't think there are good prospects for prosperity for the next generation, they have fewer children, or they don't have children at all. And that's obviously what's happening in the Ukraine, and we need, as white advocates, to help our white brothers and sisters in Ukraine turn that around, in my opinion.
All right, Keith, one more thing. I've been looking at reviewing once again what has been a wonderful summer. Summer is about to come to its conclusion. I guess Labor Day is technically the end of summer, even if it's not quite so much on the calendar. It goes a little bit further into September before you have the first day of fall. But traditionally speaking, Memorial Day through Labor Day is what we would call summer. And it has been, as I said at the very top of the show, a scintillating summer on TPC. Going to be wrapping up our summer programming with Glenn Allen tonight, then one more show next week before we head on down to the League of the South meeting the second week of September. Still so much more great programming coming your way on TPC. We will be covering the Charlottesville trials with Jason Kessler, and there's just a lot of excitement and information that we are planning to bring your way as this year continues to peel off and as we continue to march through the calendar. And this, our 17th year, of course, our 18th anniversary will be on in October. So it'll be 2004 to 2021, and we'll be in then what will be our 18th year. But there is a guest, Keith, you have been mentioning that we would like to have back on this show. He has appeared before, but it was many years ago in itself, so long ago, in fact, that it would not be too far removed from considering him to be a first-time guest. Who is he and why?
Well, this guy, you know, Osama bin Laden hid in the mountainous caves of Pakistan and Afghanistan for years, but they at least were able to find him. The CIA and the FBI have not been able to locate William Lind, who we love, who we almost weekly publish one of his articles. He and Paul Craig Roberts come up with excellent articles that we don't think get enough coverage in our movement, and we've made it our personal mission to make sure that they do get exposure, and we do that. And in particular, he's written a book within the past couple of years called Retro Culture, Taking America Back, and it was more or less mockingly reviewed by Nelson Rossett in the Occidental Quarterly, in their edition of Spring 2021, LARPing, live-action role-playing, plays physically reenacting a plot from a role game. He called it LARPing Towards Victory. In other words, pretend that you live in the good old days. If you're a white advocate, do like I do, for example. Live in an old house, drive old cars, wear old clothes, have take out the modern Disney and all the other cable TV networks, with the exception of occasional sports program, and instead have a library of VHS tapes and a good VHS player and play all the great TV shows from the 50s and 60s and the movies from 1966 on back, which is what I've done. And also I selectively read what I can that basically is critical. I don't imbibe of ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS very often, and I do, I feel like I'm skin diving in a sewage lagoon.
But we could talk to William S. Lind about that, to cut to the chase, about retro culture and how it can play a role in at least our mental health as we continue to work for much bigger victories. Well, Keith Alexander, thank you so much, my friend. We'll be back with you next week. Glenn Allen up next.
Okay.